Secretary Clinton is the ISA's president. My guest now to talk about the latest trends and steps to protect your agency. Larry, it's great to talk to you again. Thanks for coming back on.
My pleasure, always.
What are some of the threats to the supply chain? What are people finding when they pop these boxes open?
Well, it really depends on who we're talking about, but the most serious threats that we're concerned have to do with complex weapons systems, and particularly we're concerned about attempts by nation states to invade the supply chain, particularly on the hardware side. If you compromise the software, it's often a little bit easier to deal with because, of course, the software needs to be updated and it can be checked. But if you compromise, say, a weapon system in the hardware side, these are virtually undetectable, and they can lay dormant for a very long time until they are activated, at which point you could cause a weapon system either to not function at all or function against the person who's attempting to launch it. So it's a potentially very, very serious problem, although obviously it's a limited problem because these sorts of attacks are the sorts of things that would only be launched by nation states who are willing to invest tremendous amounts of time and effort at that level, as opposed to kind of the generic sorts of organized criminal threats to the supply chain that we see on the software side.
Are these the kinds of things that would be like a hardware parallel to a backdoor or a Trojan, where the person, once they gain control, can essentially operate the piece of hardware the same way somebody in control of a machine can operate it through software?
Absolutely right. Yes, and again, you don't even necessarily know that it's there until the point of attack. I mean, the malware could be activated only at a certain predetermined point in time. When it's highly activated, where the system is highly activated. So, you know, once this stuff impregnates the system at the hardware level early on, then you've pretty much lost the battle. So this is the kind of thing we have to be pretty vigilant about.
So this isn't just a cybersecurity issue. This is also, I guess, a procurement issue, because the way that these things are coming and the way the supply chain is done, not just by the agency but by the vendor, is at issue here.
Absolutely right. This is an enormous problem for the vendors. I mean, when we're dealing with complex weapon systems, the supply chains can be hundreds, thousands, and even hundreds of thousands of enterprises long to put all these things together. So managing that supply chain is really a tremendous task and requires a really overarching systemic analysis. And the vendors are working pretty hard on managing this problem. A bunch of the majors are really doing a terrific job focusing on this. So I wouldn't say that this is an acute problem at the moment, because there's a lot of attention being paid to it. But it is the sort of thing that requires substantial vigilance.
Well, and I would say that if we're talking about what you say we're talking about, which is the possibility that a weapon system could go off in the wrong direction at the wrong time, that needs and deserves a lot of attention, it seems to me.
Yeah.
You're fresh off an event talking about this. Tell me about that deal.
This morning I was joined by General Myros former General Myros from Harris Corporation and former Secretary of Homeland Security Michael Chertoff, and we did an event at the National Press Club attempting to articulate how cybersecurity is not just an IT operational issue, but it's a strategic and economic as well as technical issue that needs to be addressed from an overarching risk management perspective, where we include not only the standards and practices, which of course we're doing a lot of work on, but also understanding the economics of this issue and making sure that we have put in place the appropriate incentives, not just for our major providers, but also for the vast array of entities that are involved in this really extended supply chain. So it was a pretty good event. We were pretty happy with it.
Do you think the right people understand that this is not just an IT problem now?
Well, I think that, you know, my perception is that at the agency level, this is understood. I'm not sure that it has been quite as appreciated at the congressional level. Obviously, there are some bills that are being talked about in Congress that are attempting to legislate in this space, and at least the initial drafts I've seen tend to lean much more towards just establishing standards and the like without putting into effect the economic incentives, and that's really only half of the problem here. We clearly do need, you know, strong procedures and standards and practices, but those have to be put in place in an economically viable system. Virtually everything that we use in the information technology sphere is either manufactured or fabricated or researched or designed offshore at some point. So we can't do this with a U.S. federal only solution. It's got to be an expansive risk management approach that reaches across our borders, where we get trusted partners who have their own vested interests that they're addressing by assisting us in securing these supply chains.
All right. When you say this is a risk management issue, there are some kind of SOPs for risk management. Does this fall into those, or does this require, because this is a unique problem, does it require a unique risk management approach, do you think?
Well, there are probably unique elements to this risk management, since we're talking about not just kind of within an organization or an enterprise, but we're talking about dealing with a very extended group who may come from different legal and cultural backgrounds. I mean, we're dealing with, you know, vendors who may be in Asia, in India, as well as Europe. We have very different legal systems. So one of the things that we're focused on at the Internet Security Alliance, we'll be having an event this spring to focus on this, is how do we develop the contract language that will embed the best practices and standards that we are working on currently into the contracts that we have with these vendors in this far-flung system, so that everybody knows that they're on the right page, we have the liabilities properly allocated, and we have the economics built into the system. So there are some uniquenesses in this space, for sure.
And I guess another element of that is, for contracts that are already in progress, how do you integrate that into contracts that are already being done and still be able to get a deliverable on somewhere close to the timeline that was set out in the original contract?
Well, that's right. I mean, it has to be something that is secure, but it also has to be economically feasible. It has to be economically feasible for us. It has to be economically feasible for the people who are providing it. And we have to be careful about trying to use too heavy a Bigfoot in terms of enforcing these things, because we can put things into contracts, but if there aren't the proper incentives for the people on the other end of the contract, you know, it's very, very difficult to police these procedures, you know, in far long places. We don't want an insider feeling that they've been abused and therefore, you know, cooperating with some nefarious entity. So, you know, we have to approach this from a very realistic perspective, understand what the equities are for all of the participating parties, and find a way to manage the risk appropriately.
What is your long-term view of this? Is this a solvable problem that X number of years from now we can look back and slap our hands together and say, yep, we took care of that one? Or is this like a lot of other cybersecurity solutions where you expect threats continuing to evolve and change and you never really get a handle on it, you just work as hard as you can to stay ahead of it?
I'd probably come down somewhere in between those two extremes. I think we can get a handle on it. I think we can appropriately manage our risk, but I do think that it's a problem that we're going to have with us for a very, very long time. We have to understand that the problem isn't that we have excessive vulnerabilities. That's kind of an outdated notion. We have to understand that we are under attack. There are bad people out there who are trying to do nefarious things to us, both on an economic and strategic basis, and they are going to attempt to continually exploit any aspect of the system that's out there, those guys aren't going away. So we're going to need to evolve an ongoing 21st century system that may look a little bit different than the old 20th century system that we got comfortable with to address these things. But I think we can absolutely do it, and I think we're moving in that direction. But it is going to be an ongoing problem. It's like your health. You gotta keep exercising, and you got to keep eating right and doing the right things. And if you do that, you'll remain pretty healthy.
Larry Clinton, president of the Internet Security Alliance, thanks for being on today. Always appreciate your insight.
Always a pleasure to join you. Thanks an awful lot.
Larry's